such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hello, everyone. God bless you for tuning into The Winds of Change. I'm Father Tom Coys, sitting in for, I'm a guest host, sitting in for guest host for Father Anthony Bush. Always. Anyways, after internet connection, I hope. And no time to take our breaks at the 15-minute mark. It's 1 minute after noon. If you're listening live, right, folks? Anyways, what I want to continue is this new fascination I have with science, which I must confess I didn't have before, but now because I'm plugged into this big debate that's going on within scientists, especially whether or not there was a Big Bang and there's a creator behind the universe, and whether or not life itself could have come about by chance. So, okay, those are the two things. And I want to start out by giving part of my sermon from last Sunday. So if any of you are listening and heard my sermon from last Sunday, beg your pardon. You never know what you're going to get at a St. James sermon. And of course, not being a super brain scientist, I don't know that I described it very well. But all of us probably remember E equals mc squared, correct? Correct. And the reason I bring that up in a sermon, because E equals mc squared basically is saying that energy and mass are convertible terms. It wrinkles my brain quite a bit. When I think of energy, I think of something like a lightning bolt, right? Oh. Lots of energy.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
The electricity that comes out of the outlet. When you plug something into an outlet, you got energy. We know what electricity is. Or how about the energy in a fire? If there's a forest fire outside your window, you're going to feel a lot of, you could understand how that's energy, right? But how did Einstein, first of all, Einstein came up with his theory of relativity, especially because he was plugged into the debate over, are you ready for this? Whether you could measure the speed of the Earth around the sun.
Holy, here we go again, Batman.
After it was determined that the Earth goes around the sun, that's, if you believe the Earth goes around the sun, then in theory, be able to find out how fast is the Earth going around the sun. Because we know at 100. One, two, three. I think we're back now. Hey, Nick, do you got me? Sounds like we're back in business here. I apologize, my friends. It comes to get you through a big wrinkling hour here. Sometimes the internet is a crazy thing, isn't it? We depend on the little waves of light and energy traveling through space all the time. Anyways, maybe that's a good way to thank the good Lord that he created the universe such as it is that we can do such things. Well, that sort of dovetails into my topic. So I'm reviewing a little bit of my sermon from last Sunday. As I was reading all this scientific stuff about the universe and the fine tuning of the universe. That's the key phrase to keep in mind. What is fine tuned? Well, the universe and the elements that make up the universe and the forces that are the universe. Okay, so that's the forces that act on matter. That's where we come in, and that's where Einstein, so all these questions came up about whether or not the Earth goes around the sun. Can you measure the speed of the Earth? How vast is the universe? You know, things.
Wow.
Very interesting, right?
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
That is the brain wrinkling aspect of it. So I will try to relativity is E equals MC squared, right? E equals some, and we could kind of get our head around that, even as non-scientists, we could say that lightning bolt had an energy of 1,000. Here's a bigger lightning bolt, let's say that has 10,000. Or we often hear when an atom explodes, it has the atomic explosion of a gazillion TNT. Anyways, one stick of dynamite, two sticks of dynamite, whatever. So anyways, we can sort of...
Holy schizophrenia.
2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Sounds, hey Nick, here we are again. I seem to be playing ping pong here with Mr.
We got
Internet.
You, Father. Be patient with us, loyal listeners, but you're back on now.
Back and forth. All right, folks, be patient with us today. There must be some solar going on, but it's to be a good this is a good preview of what would happen if the check.
Got you now, Father.
Lost again. One, two, three.
Greetings, Father. Let's try to pick up where you left off.
One, two, three, one, two, three.
Greetings, Father. Can you hear us?
All right. I hear you again, Nick. All right.
Let's pick up where you left off, sir.
I will do my best. There must be some sort of solar storm going on, wreaking havoc in the electromagnetic field. Yeah, that's actually...
Oh, when will this mad whirlwind existence ever stop?
Yeah, you know, and of the many things the government, or especially the military, not necessarily government in the White House, but certainly the military worries about enemies that would attack our electric grid. That could really be cause havoc, as we're just feeling it now. Okay, I'm going to have to try to talk fast. Here's what the contemplation of Einstein's theory of relativity does to me, a theologian, and I hope helps you as a Catholic believer.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org. St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
I'm Father Tom Coyes, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear winds of change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststanschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Adam is construed as a priest. Adam, before the fall, is in the stance of right relationship to God. And so he's seen as a priest in the Garden of Eden as a kind of primordial temple, right? A place of right praise. What happens in sin is we lose that priestly role. We stop being priests. We start worshiping ourselves and worshiping creaturely things. So Jesus now is seen as the new Adam. He's the fulfillment of law and Torah and temple and sacrifice, hence he's the high priest. And so we see the cross as a place not just of Roman execution, but it's a place where the supreme sacrifice has been performed. And so the priesthood, in that sacrificial sense, continues in the mystical body of Christ. So to the present day, when I, as a priest, celebrate the sacrifice of the Mass, I'm standing in that great tradition, participating in the high priesthood of Jesus.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
Listeners to Catholic radio, I think, benefit most, at least initially, from what I call remedial catechesis. What Catholic radio does is it becomes an echo chamber for the teaching authority of the Catholic Church. And what we're doing is teaching many things which have been neglected over the last 40, 50 years. If you listen to Catholic radio, you know what the Catholic Church teaches.
Al Cresta thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Winds of Change would like you to know that July is the month we honor the precious blood of Jesus, falling right between June's devotion to the Sacred Heart and August's devotion to the Immaculate Heart. July is an ideal time to connect our devotion to Jesus and Mary, as well as to heighten our connection to the blood of the Lamb of God.
Greetings, Father. Are you there? Father, are you there? Can you hear us?
Thank you. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So now you know, I want boys to be altar boys and the Boy Scouts to
girls
remain.
Girls to be Girl Scouts.
I mean, they got the Girl Scouts, so why do the girls have to be Boy Scouts?
I think the boys are going to get in there, too, because if it's only fair for everybody, then.
It's just a strange, strange world. I mean, I swear, we're strangers in a foreign land. Yeah. We really, really are. And how do you separate the sane from the insanity? You know, I saw this movie. I remember the name of the movie. Years ago, it was really interesting. I don't know if it was it must not have been a big movie. I don't remember the name of it, but this was back in the 1980s or something. But did you hear about this? This was a French town during the Second World War. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Germans were coming. And so the entire town was evacuated. Everybody was left the town, except those who were in the "quote unquote" insane asylum. They were left locked in the insane mm-hmm. asylum, but the rest of the town
left.
And so the Germans came in. Well, there was one. I think it was an American soldier mm-hmm. who was somehow got left behind or something, mm-hmm. and he ended up. He was in that town. He was the only person in the town. And whatever, I don't remember the Germans, they came or they didn't come or they left or whatever, but the town was empty. It was empty of all of its inhabitants, except this lone American soldier. Mm-hmm. Well, those in the insane asylum, they escaped, and so they took over the town. It became their town. Right. It became their town until after the war, when the French came back. And they put all these people from the insane asylum back into the insane asylum. And wouldn't you know it, the American soldier decided he wanted to go there too. So, because he thought, these people are more sane
than you get
the point. And, I mean, how do you separate sanity from insanity today? It really is, it's very disturbing. You know, mm-hmm. I sit there and I say, strangers in a foreign land. That's what the scripture speaks about, that, you know, we're strangers in a foreign land. And I do truly believe that the truly lived Christianity, Catholicism, the full counsel of God, without the groupthink, you know, they call it the right. groupthink or without, is the most liberating and the most, if you want to be sane, you know, surrender your life to Christ Jesus. Give yourself over to the Lord and spend time with God. You know, pray. But this is the other thing too. I'm just reading about these. They're called the IGENs, mm-hmm. and it's this is actually an article written by Bishop Robert Barron, and he said, and this is what caught my attention. He said this book called IGEN is one of the most fascinating and depressing texts I've read in the past decade.
Wow.
Now, this is coming from Bishop Robert Barron, who's well-read. Mm-hmm. He's a fascinating, intelligent, commonsensical, sane man. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about sanity. When you listen to him, I consider myself a bit insane when I listen to him because mm-hmm. he seems to be so... So balanced.
As a way of breaking it down. So.
Absolutely, yeah. He's fascinating. He's thank God he's a bishop, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this professor of psychology at San Diego University, her name is Dr. Jean Twenge, and she's been studying the trends among young Americans, and this most recent book focuses on the generation born between 1995 and 2012, and again, this is the first cohort of young people who have never known a world without iPads and iPhones, and these devices have basically shaped their consciousness and their behavior. And what she finds is that. You know, a lot of things. For instance, they don't want to get their driver's license when they turn 16. You know, whereas when we turned 16, that was, you know,
they don't want to drive. Or
Well, you know, they postpone it. The whole rite of passage is postponed until they're in their 20s or maybe even into their 30s because they don't want adulting, as she said, quote unquote, adulting. They don't want to be adults. They kind of look down on the adults, it seems to me. I guess most young people do, you know. But what was interesting is statistically that, for instance, in the 1980s, 90% of high school seniors identified with a religious group in 1980. By 1915, there was only, let's see, only 65%. 65% as opposed to 90%. Well, at least there's 65%. 28% of 12th graders attended services in 2015, whereas in 1976, the year I graduated, 40% of all young people went to services. Well, at least 28% attended services in 2015. But anyway, as late as 2004, 84% of young adults said that they prayed regularly. By 2016, one-fourth of that same age cohort said they never prayed. And she said they find a similar decline in regard to acceptance of the Bible as a word of God. One-fourth of iGeners say that scriptures are a compilation of ancient fables, legends, history, moral precepts recorded by men. Well, this is what they're getting in their education. Anyway, the article goes on and on, but it's interesting too, you know, that they don't necessarily go to movies. They rather stay home and tune into their
that makes sense
internet, and they
want free movies,
perhaps. The other thing they do is they prefer to relate to each other
online,
mm-hmm. or through texting and all that. So what does that say about social behavior, you know? And the other thing is, this is their motto. My life, my death, my choice.
Wow.
That's the friendly motto. It was emblazoned on a billboard in California.
Wow.
As contrasted with St. Paul, who says, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Now, their motto is, my life, my death, my choice. Because how many times have I said we've been breeding generations of narcissists, mm-hmm. narcissism? You know, the whole women's movement, no? I mean, isn't that often what you see on those placards? By the way, the contrast between the women's march this past, after the election, and the pro-life march was as different as night and day.
Yep.
But the women's march, you know, the women's liberation and all that, it was so nasty. Yeah, they call it, somebody even says something about nasty women. Yeah. And it was nasty. Wow. It was really gross.
That's enough to show you that even if the things we're saying don't make sense, to view something like that and see the contrasts, if you can't see that, then I don't know.
Well, it's like, you know, in the aftermath of the election, mm-hmm. and I'm not here to be political this way or that
but
way.
But you observe.
But I tell you one thing. Mm-hmm. I'm disturbed by everything, by everything that I see these days. And that's why I'll tell you, that's why my chapel is my favorite place, because I feel, talk about, hey, if you want to be in a sane place, just be quiet,
yep.
and place yourself in the presence of the Eucharist. And as St. Augustine, I was rereading his conversion story, but he speaks about a sighing. Just the beauty of how he discovered or was discovered by God. And it relates a lot to this. In fact, reading this... Well, not reading this, but this other article I got to get to. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I got all these different things going through my head. I do want to get into this other thing before the end of the the show. Mm-hmm. This is Promises, Promises, a parable on the false promises of this world. It's very interesting, but it made me think, all of this makes me think of St. Augustine, because I find myself now praying too, really, today, for instance, I offered the rosary for, you know, the sick and the suffering, for conversion, for the peace in the world, but I'm praying in a very specific way for young people, for millennials, because it's not their fault. It's not their fault. But this goes on to say that they don't want anything to do with religion, the high percentage, the major percentage, that first of all, because religion rejects science. Well, it doesn't reject science. Where's that coming from? The church, the first scientist came from the church. You know, the church has an institute for science and all that. And many priests were inventors. They were scientists.
Yeah.
You know, going back, you know, into the Middle Ages. But the other thing, and this is, again, this is the narrative in the society that has deformed. It's a deformation. It's not a formation. It's a deformation. It's deformed the attitudes and the mindset of a lot of young people. I think what's going on in the hallowed halls of education is quite... I'll go so far as to say it's diabolic. There's something diabolic, because when so much goes against the natural order of things, and even the fact that, you know, God is, gosh, I mean, when you think about it, you know, there's always been nothing new under the sun. You know, for sure, there's always been sin. There's always been a conflict. We're always in a major spiritual battle. But there was a certain civility that came in a relationship with God, and that people acknowledged and greeted each other in the name of God. This was part of the culture. I've said many times, you know, even the word holiday comes from holy day, holy day observances. What's happening today is not normal. This is not normal. It's not normal. But a lot of these iGens, they have nothing to do with religion because, and you can imagine, I stopped going to church because, you know, the church hates gays and lesbians.
Heard this too.
And I hear this so often, you know, I'm going to be starting next week. I'm going to start teaching in the school, in the upper grades, because I really feel that I need to get there. And I want to hear from them. I want them to define for me who God is. And what is the meaning and the purpose of life, and what is and where from where comes evil? I want them to teach me, you know, and it'll be a mutual thing. But I want to hear from them. I really do. But see, the society, this narrative in the society, has brought us to this realization that we truly, those who are God-fearing, who have a great sensitivity to God, to all things sacred, and a sensitivity to sin, all the while knowing we are sinners, but we don't expect that we're going to recreate God or we're going to redefine the laws of God, but we humbly come before God asking, you know, God, please, for the grace to rise above this or that or whatever. But we acknowledge sin, and that's why our churches have to be places where we're not manipulating people into this or that or whatever, but we just, as St. Paul says, we preach the full counsel of God, and we provide the sacred space where the saint and the sinner can come side by side, the healthy and the sick. In truth, in reality, you know, we're all a bit sick, and we're all sinners. But to humbly recognize that, rather than have the entire world celebrate or obliterate from my life the fact that I am a sinner, that I am sick, that there's a sickness or there's disorder in my life. And it seems that this is what we want to do. That's why it goes back to the motto. What is their motto? I forgot it already. My choice,
something or other.
My life, my death, my choice. Yeah. I'll make the, and true, everybody's free, but
they do have a religion. I guess it's the religion of the internet. Well, it's their God. I see it so.
It is, yeah.
It's my only thing. I get everything from there. And then that's devious in itself.
So it goes to the question of who is our God? Mm-hmm. Because the very first commandment. There is but one God.
That's what.
And you will have no other gods before you. And so who or what dominates my life? Who or what defines who I am? You know, that's the question. We got to take a break. We're only going to get two breaks in, Nick. I'm so sorry. We're supposed to do three breaks, anyway.
We'll get used to it.
Just the way it is. We're sinful people over here.
I'm Father Anthony Owens of Change on the new EWTM Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio, on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
I'm Father Tom Coyes, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Koska, the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststandschurch.org. Winds of Change would like you to know that July is the month we honor the precious blood of Jesus, falling right between June's devotion to the Sacred Heart and August's devotion to the Immaculate Heart. July is an ideal time to connect our devotion to Jesus and Mary, as well as to heighten our connection to the blood of the Lamb of God.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Koska Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, two blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
I didn't put myself on. I got cut myself off. Anyway, welcome back. So we're not going to get into this promises tomorrow. Definitely tomorrow, because this is really something that's it's a parable. And it really ties into what we're talking about today, if it makes any sense to anybody out there. Mm-hmm. But it goes back to what we were speaking about the other day, about the Pope John Paul II, who basically went throughout the world, and I'm extrapolating from the gospel on Sunday, where the Pharisees, they set out to entrap Jesus. And they do this in many ways and often, but they can't. They can't do it. Or they do, insofar as he allowed himself to be taken by force. It was all through falsehood and deception and deceit and all this. And he was crucified and he died, but he rose from the dead. Now this was the whole Paschal mystery, our salvation. And my gosh, do we ever need to be saved? We have to recognize our need for salvation, but I say at the root of it all, we've got to speak to this, and that is that we are in a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual combat. And the only way we're going to survive, the only way we're going to, well, we've got to claim the victory, because the victory is ours. Because in the end, at the end of all things, I mean, Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Satan is a deceiver. He's a seducer. He creates the illusion. And as somebody once said, we're like the clapping seals. You know, we seek out that, you know, our whole life is to seek out, to seek God, to seek God. Ours is a search for God. It's a constant search for God. And that's why there's this inner groaning that the scripture speaks of. I was thinking about that again today as I was in prayer. And I do, I think about it every day because it's my reality. It's not about just saying the prayers. You know, you say prayers, but it's the trying to grasp, trying to understand, trying to nurture and to have some sense of this this intimacy that we have with God, even as we're in the exile, as we're on the journey or on the way, as I so often say, because we're pilgrims in the journey. And I guess I get, I always go back to what the Cardinal said when he endorsed my book. This was Cardinal George in Peace May He Rest. But he described me as this desperate priest, you know, in this big urban city. Those are the words I remember. Then he went on to say something else. But I thought, at first it bothered me that he used the word desperate. But I thought, well, you know, that's appropriate. I guess he could he could see that there is this, I call it maybe a kind of zeal, maybe in wanting to set things right. And it bothers me about the what's happening to the millennials, because they're beautiful people. There's good people. I say people I meet every day are good and beautiful people, but my frustration is, you know, oh, Almighty God, help me to, you know, help me to, this is where the groaning I find, help me to break down this barrier, whatever it is that prevents me or prevents you working through me to tap into the hearts and the souls of people who unbeknown to themselves would benefit, would be saved from the powers and the principalities of this world that in a very seductive and a very deceitful way, creating the illusion, enslave, further confuse, or bring people into a kind of depression that doesn't have to be there.
See, I can understand the frustration of looking out and looking at almost like children trying, how do I reach them? What do I do? What do I say? It's that frustration that every man that has children and woman that has, you know, kids that.
So how do you, you know, having said that, you know, even, and this is part of the frustration too, you know, even in our nation, in the West and, well, in the world, how do you counter the power of the media to influence? They have this power that can influence. I mean, you know, when people will accuse the church of brainwashing and you know, people will say that, right?
And the media doesn't
do that. It doesn't do that, no. I mean, everything, that, you know, but
the iPads don't do that.
None of that does. But, you know, so at what point do we wake up? And I think maybe with this Weinstein scandal and all this other stuff, I think maybe people are beginning to wake up, or what's even happened, what's going on politically.
Everything interesting. It seems that everything is coming out at the same time. And I kind of marvel, since we were talking about that during the break, how you sit back and you see the things transpiring. So it's going to happen.
It's, yeah, that's, you know.
And I think that's where prayer comes in.
Exactly. And so the bottom line is, because we're out of time, and we'll come back to this other thing tomorrow. I'm very excited about this. But it goes back to Pope John Paul II, who tried to awaken us to God's love and mercy, and that we not be tricked, that we not be tripped, we not be entrapped.
Exactly.
And he, reflecting on his life, reminds us to have hope, because God worked so beautifully, so powerfully, and prepared that man for the papacy through the course of his entire life. And so, you know, God is with us. God is with us. I guess the question that needs to be asked as well, we do have a lot of young people who come to Mass in the evening, and I should sit down with them. We're going to try to do this in a couple of weeks and find out what keeps you, what has inspired you, what keeps you in the faith. And these are staunch, orthodox, solid Catholics who don't have the baggage that many of us do. Yeah, so anyway, everybody, boy, this hour went pretty fast. Yeah. So thanks for being with us. I'm looking forward to being back tomorrow. So we'll be back tomorrow. And in the meantime, God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? The winds have to say when the world makes no sense. Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? The winds have changed. We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? The winds have changed.
truth left untold, the truth left untold. The time is now, the winds have changed. Read the signs, no time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? The winds have changed. We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say when right from wrong has become so obscure? It does not take that long. Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? The winds have truth left untold. The truth left untold.